Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's this time, it's that time of night. I gotta talk about Naturals Omega. Naturals Omega. Yo, is your hygiene up to par, man? Is the products that y'all using for your hygiene up to par? Do it got mercury in it? Do it got aluminum? Are you putting deodorant under your arms that's making you have cancer tumors? We're talking about the men and the women. Yeah, men, y'all catching cancer, breast cancer from using deodorant. So are the women. Yo, it's no need for y'all to go through that anymore. Go check out NaturalsOmega.com. You can get deodorant and every other toothpaste, tooth powder, all these different things that y'all need for your hygienical needs. And not only is it going to keep you smelling fresh, it's also going to pull out those heavy metals, those toxins, those parasites out of your body and make you feel good, make you think correct. So check out Naturals Omega. All right? Yeah, she got some shit for your pores, too. She got this lip scrub where it actually, you know, pulls off the dead skin cells and reactivates the live cells and helps them, you know, purify your body, make it nice and smooth, man. Like she used the lip scrub on her booty, man, and the booty's so soft, man. I can't keep my hands off the booty, man. NaturalsOmega.com. NaturalsOmega.com.
I am too sexy for my shirt, too sexy for my shirt, so sexy it hurts. I am too sexy for Milan, too sexy for Milan, New York or Japan.
Too sexy for this girl, too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this ice, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for this chain, too sexy for your game, too sexy for this fame, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for the trap, too sexy for that cap, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah.
Okay, alright, that's fine. Okay, I'm feeling too sexy to accept requests. And I'm way too sexy to go unprotected. And she popped a Tesla, now she gonna let you. Okay, alright, that's fine. Okay, think we got too sexy for that metro housing. Diamond popped out, almost swallowed 60,000. Section need more things in here, I like it crowded.
Whoa, whoa.
Yeah, I like it crowded. Oh, you like the boy, well tell me what you like about him. You a turnt a little thotty, ain't no wife about it. I'ma fuck her friends and send her back to metro housing.
Yeah, I'm too sexy for this girl, too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this life, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for this chain, too sexy for your game, too sexy for this fame, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for the trap, too sexy for that cap, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I pop out, get ghosts on the bitch, you don't know where I went. Pray for all my dogs, all my niggas behind the fence. Drippin' in it, I was feelin' in a new designer gear by a coaster. Pay attention to the detail, going two-tone on chokers. Young niggas always ready to murk, so I'm called on some smokers. Young niggas have emotion, you don't make sure the car gets hit a 360, windmill when I left the scene. That's that action, her best work on her knees. Too sexy for this cash, too sexy for this surf, too sexy for these pills, I'm too sexy for this. I get cash wherever I fly, got bitches sexing on me. Money, cars, and all this jewelry make a bill of sexy. I get cash wherever I fly, got bitches sexing on me. Yeah, I'm too sexy for this girl, too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this ice, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for this chain, too sexy for your game, too sexy for this fame, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for the trap, too sexy for that cap, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah.
Too sexy to count 50.
finish. Bag in that. My man ain't gon' steal it. Put a bag for. Made these young hoes wish they was rich. A Green Gator, they look like a switch. Georgia, yo, I spit 26 licks. Too sexy, my neck. But get it, but let me correct me. I'll let you today see. I've been kicking shit, my needle prosthetic. I pray through the chopper on my pillow to fairy.
What is this?
Maybach music.
I like this Maybach music.
Sweet.
They try to tell me I don't fit up in this motherfucker. Cause Rose, they be talking, why you think he Uncle Ruckus? I left Jimmy, they was spinning silly on my budget. And now I'm rolling with some cooler niggas I can fuck with. You buy the cooler, yeah, you niggas don't get no dick. Bitch, I think I'm Teen Wolf, dog nigga, ballin' bitch. Flies Ricky Steamboat, me and Mama Steamboat. I don't wear no 501,000 jeans float. It's funny how Poochie made all the space gone. I'm winning cause Ricky made my mistakes known. It's funny that since I put this chain on, these bitches appear quicker than State Farm. While they belong something, they can't ever smoke. We that can't pronounce, man, this shit'll leave on Zeta Stone. This man can single-handedly say the coach. You got no spark, you need some lighter, man, you Sammy Sosa. So get it right, okay, you born a man, I'm with the owner. You know my drive is retarded like I'm riding donuts. Picture me rolling, young, handsome, and focused. Got that vision of Paco, throwing Brandon and Oprah. Michelangelo portrait me, Maya Angela, notebook. Michael Jordan performance, nigga, I'm actually all of it. Yeah, I'm just a poor with some hang time. Home, Rudy Shakespeare, I just shake dice. Miami Nights, made a couple grand. Pop a plane, TSA, you kiss my ass. Lord forgive me, I'm trying, no, I ain't living right. But this card, I'm tricking with, got no limit, right? And this life, you dead wrong, I ain't living right. They on my ass like a Santa, make them take a hike. Good night.
All we want is opportunity. Lord knows.
It's MMG, baby. The dream team.
Better believe.
I made it myself, got some self-made. Fire starter put me anywhere, I just blaze. Dropped out of school, never made it to the 12th grade. I'm so fucking raw, haters hoping that I catch AIDS. Motivated just from being broke. Had a dream like Martin Luther, a little bit of hope. Sam Rosa never rode, Malcolm never spoke. They probably find me in the woods, hanging from a rope. Instead they locked me in a cell, just for selling dope. When people told me I was bad, I used to tell them no. Cause I was never hesitant to represent. Devil knocking at the door, screaming, let me in. Tell her on it, hit the lights when we stepping in. Charlie Sheen on them haters, they don't wanna let me win. Nah, niggas, they don't wanna let me win. But I'ma build the ground up, let's begin. I kill these rappers early in the game. Abortion, spit a verse like, let me get your fans. Extortion, send these niggas back to where they came. Depression, make them forfeit in them Porsches. It's on their horses, 9-11, somebody call them. Kimber walk across them over, somebody falling. Jump back. I hit the shot, somebody ballin'. I'm at the dealer and I hear that Maserati callin'. Black and white diamonds looking like my neck be volleyballin'. In this country looking like somebody potted on it. I don't got join the Illuminati just to get a new Bugatti. I'm just riding out and put a million miles all on my body. I'm gone.
Born to win. Look around. From the projects to the penthouse. Our vision never changed. We self-made. Count that up. Whoop.
Self-made, self-paid, man. P-I-L-L in the building.
ATL.
Don't get your motherfucking roll on.
8 in the morning when that street clock bust. Kitchen overload, so not turned the aisle burn, baking soda pole. The clientele buy and sell like a punch out. Dropping margins increase, exit the beef with my gun out. Outwit it, outfox you overmatched. House hidden, drop tops, the sofa smacked. This is fine dine takeout, first date makeout. Diamonds line the lens of cameraman on the stakeout. As I exit the steakhouse, pockets on humongo. Philosophical dollar and Prada while at the Congo. Africana, black is gonna be my attire. Marijuana, marijuana stick to get higher. Yes, we blow stress through the vents of the Marriott. We self-made, carry on while we carry out.
If I woke up tomorrow and didn't have a dollar, as long as I had my heart, I could get it all over. Dream team, we the 93 Chicago Bulls, baby. The lovely teacher Moses, self-made.
Maybach Music.
Little baby gon' run it up, 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 shut it up, fuck 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 it up. She gon' shake it fast, she gon' drop it low, she gon' shake it fast, she gon' drop it low. Little baby gon' run it up, 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 run it up. You cannot tell her shit. She's tryna get rich, in the club too thick, everybody want hit. Shoot when I let them hit gold, these niggas broken sheet, no. Oh, me on the low, DDG finna blow, yeah. Throw that ass so quick, she my number one pick, baby girl too lit, but these niggas ain't shit. Shawty cute, just face thick, eyeballer, no lace stick. Open up, let me taste thick, I ain't tryna be basic. She ain't really with the games, no play for the lames. Smart girl got brains, and she ball no James. Shawty bad, she got a whole lot of ass. Inert bag, shawty finessing the cash. Yeah, little baby gon' run it up, 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 run it up. Shawty gon' fuck it up, 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 fuck it up. She gon' shake it fast, she gon' drop it low. She gon' shake it fast, she gon' drop it low. Little baby gon' run it up, 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 run it up.
Say, girl, what you finna do, hey, for that cash? Girl, you better drop it low too quick, move it fast. I might push up in that Porsche, you know I do the dash. Had that go flood on my wrist, and you know it cost the bag. Hey, say they like the way my neck shine, bitch, I'm too lit. Know they wanna be a part of this, cause nigga, we the shit. Is you stupid, you ain't hopping in my car without a stick. Chopper bullets hit they body if we catch them on that field.
Hey, bank rolls after bank rolls after bank rolls. Hey, it got them changing just like how these niggas change clothes.
And you could catch me up in places where they can't go.
Turn that K on, I'm still up in the trenches with my chain. Little baby gon' run it up, 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 run it up. Shut it, go, fuck it up, 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 fuck it up. She gon' shake it fast, she gon' drop it low. She gon' shake it fast, she gon' drop it low.
Little baby gon' run it up, 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 run it up.
She gon' run to the bag and stack it up fast, young girl about spittin' on drip. She ain't wanna give me no hits, so I caught up a cab, hold this your lips. I'ma have to take these niggas to court, they done auto-theft my drip. Every time I go to the stage, everybody know I'ma leave a little tip. She smart and thick, she classified, on bacon strip, her ass is out. She showed a nigga love in a pen, she sent some pics that pass it out. It's my bitch, when she whine and trip, I give her pacify. And I grip, when she ride my stick, I fuck her lashes out. Two of my homeboys tryna go to war, gotta make them hash it out. First thing I was taught when I was growing up, don't keep the stash in the house. Turn a hood bitch to a princess, teach a hood bitch how to invest. I come from the bottom where I'm from, boy, I'm a legend like I'm Denzel.
Little baby gon' run it up, 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 run it up. Shut it, go, fuck it up, 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 fuck it up. She gon' shake it fast, she gon' drop it low. She gon' shake it fast, she gon' drop it low.
Little baby gon' run it up, run it up, run it up, run it up.
All in the wrist, nigga, fuck something. Gon' take the date, what you running from? Bitch, I'ma let come and see your first 100 bucks. Oh yeah, you think you call, look or something? Bitch, you must think I'm a duck or something. Gon' let do I fuck or something. Let my DJ get sucked or something. Wanna hang around with the gang gang? Let me get a three-way if you one of us. You already know CJ if you one of us. Swerve on replay if you one of us. I already know you kinda fuck. I ain't even tryna talk, get up on the bus. I ain't even tryna talk, I don't wanna fuck. Rollie bus, bus, AP bus, bus. And you niggas sus. You taking L's, Russ. We banging L's, us. Every day I wake up blaze, just. Every day you fuck niggas still amazed.
Little baby gon' run it up, 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 run it up. Shut it gon' fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up. Fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up, fuck it up.
She gon' shake it fast, she gon' drop it low. She gon' shake it fast, she gon' drop it low.
Little baby gon' run it up, 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 run it up.
All right, peace to the gods, peace to the gods. Let's get this shit started. Someone said, latest interview. Man, that means you ain't on my, you're not part of the Patreon, man. What's up with that? You don't like a nigga, you ain't gonna give a nigga a donation in the Patreon? Shit, why? That shit crazy. But let me these live joints. I paste the link for YouTube in the chat. Let me start YouTube. All right, and let me start the gram. All right, the chat and the gram is started. In the whole nine, we got an upcoming seminar. It's going to be February 26th. It's going to be in Atlanta. I know all of y'all is excited to get back to Atlanta. It's going to be the 26th of February, and it's going to be at the hotel I normally have my, what's the name's at, in Atlanta, and it's waiting for it to come up. Things are moving slow. Or is it me? It's the 26th of Atlanta. My son didn't put it on the website yet, but he'll have it up today or tomorrow. And you'll be able to get your tickets and all that for that webinar up and coming. But, yeah, I did a interview, and I got it in the chat on YouTube, and I also have it in the chat on Blog Talk so y'all could check it out. The brother has a new radio station, so I show some support for a fellow Moore by going on his joint. A real interesting interview too of me, so y'all should definitely enjoy it. So where I left off on Monday's show was Rule 11 of the Federal Rules of Procedures, Civil Procedures. So the next rule is Rule 12, but I've done Rule 12 a million and one times. And it's in the archives. And Rule 12 is defense and objections, when and how presented, motions for judgments on pleadings, consolidating motions, waiving defenses, and pretrial hearings. Basically, Rule 12 breaks down all your defenses, like lack of subject matter jurisdiction, lack of personal jurisdiction, improper venue, insufficient process, insufficient service of process, failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted. That's their favorite one to use. And failure to join a party under Rule 19. With Rule 12, I like to use lack of subject matter jurisdiction, lack of personal jurisdiction, right? How do I do that? Well, I do that by looking into my constitution in judiciary. And they say which court has the jurisdiction. In Atlanta, Georgia, it is Superior Court. Now, they constantly pull you into magistrate court. They pull you into driving court. They pull you into state court. None of those has jurisdiction. According to the Constitution, 1877 Georgia Constitution, it's Superior Court. So if they have me in any other court, a Superior Court is the court with original jurisdiction for cases with divorce, cases with equity, cases with property and land titles, for confinement in jail, right? So that's almost every case, right? So that's where they're supposed to have me, Superior Court. So I say you lack subject matter jurisdiction and you lack personal jurisdiction because you have me in the wrong court. Now, let's say if I get pulled over on the road by a cop, I'm fighting that case, a ticket case. I'm going to say they lack subject matter jurisdiction and they lack personal jurisdiction. Why? Because the cop never had a warrant and an affidavit in support of the warrant, so they didn't have jurisdiction, personal or subject matter. And number six, because they didn't follow the Constitution, I say they have a failure to state a claim upon which relief can be granted. All right? Now we're going to go down to Rule 13, which y'all never looked up. So Jonah's going to look it up, right? Rule 13, it says counterclaim and cross-claim. A lot of y'all want to do counterclaims and cross-claims, don't know how. Rule right here tells you how, right? It says on compulsory counterclaim, number one, in general, a pleading must state a counterclaim, any claim that at the time of its service, the pleader has against an opposing party if the claim, A, arises out of the transaction or occurrence that the subject matter of the opposing party claim. So I'll give you an example. Cop brings you into court for a traffic ticket. You can do a counterclaim in their court stating that the cop didn't have subject matter jurisdiction, personal jurisdiction, and violated your rights protected by the Constitution because he didn't have a warrant and an affidavit in support of the warrant. Plus, it was false arrest. And you need to be paid for the false arrest. That's how you would do that counterclaim, right? B, does not require adding another party over whom the court cannot acquire jurisdiction. Cop is already there, so they can acquire jurisdiction from him, right? Because he has to come in for the case he got against you claiming you broke some infraction. Exceptions. The pleader need not state the claim if, A, when the action is commenced and the claim was the subject of another pending action. Or that means what I just said. They have a case against you. You can put in your counterclaim right there. And they got to merge it together, right? You don't have to do a separate thing. B, the opposing party sued on its claim by attachment or other process that did not establish personal jurisdiction over the pleader on that claim. And the pleader does not assert any counterclaim under this rule. So it's saying they already established jurisdiction by having you in court, traffic court, but you did not assert a counterclaim under this rule. And maybe you didn't do that because you wanted to go to federal court and do a 241, 242 suit. So it works like that as well. You know what I mean? Life is cooking. It's something that's choking me. Then it says, permissive counterclaim. A pleading may state a counterclaim against an opposing party, any claim that is not compulsory. C, relief sought in a counterclaim. A counterclaim need not diminish or defeat the recovery sought by opposing party. It may request relief that exceeds the amount or difference in the kind of relief sought by the opposing party. So you don't even have to beat their case. With your counterclaim, you could simply ask for more money, so you're the only one that's going to get paid in that suit. Now, y'all should be thinking, when y'all have y'all pay fee schedule, that's what it's talking about. Your pay fee schedule will come up more than their so-called tickets and stuff like that, right? So it's talking about that. Right? Now, it goes on about other stuff, but I don't really care about it because that really don't apply to us. So with that being said, we at the half hour point. I'm going to play a commercial, and then I'm going to open up the call lines to get y'all's questions because it is Consultation Wednesday where I answer all y'all's questions. So I understand because I could have went on and just did another rule and stuff like that and just kept on teaching. But I know people get on today, be able to get hella questions answered. So I'm looking for my commercial. Here you go.
Peace to the gods.
Are you dealing with the legal situation? Are you being stopped and questioned by police for no reason? Got you feeling like the deck is stacked against you? You can get everything you need to protect yourself, your rights, and your property at JonahBay.com.
JonahBay.com.
You can learn how to remove that so-called judge from your case with the writ of Penendus and Assizes.
Penendus and Assizes.
Webinar and template. Get that so-called judge out of here. You can learn how to save your money so you can make money with the Discharge Webinar DVD right here at JonahBay.com. While you're there, you definitely need to pick up the Injunction Webinar and template. Don't believe me? Check this out.
Peace to the gods. You're now listening to the sounds of Hindsight Radio.
I want to share a story regarding the injunction. Mm-hmm. I did the injunction, and I was stopped by the police. I didn't realize it. So he said ticket, and so he went to his car and ran my plate, and I literally mean he almost ran back to my car with my license and said, have a nice day, and sent me on my way.
What happened to the ticket, though? Where's my damn
no ticket. He sent me on, he told me to have a nice day and sent me on my way.
Right.
So the injunction does work.
Go visit JonahBay.com.
At JonahBay.com, you can choose from a wide selection of webinars, seminars, templates, certified documents to get your remedy. He could teach you how to go ahead and get out of debt. And not only get out of debt, but to be self-sufficient where you don't need to go ahead and utilize the system. You are the system.
JonahBay.com.
I just drank this water and it went totally down. All right, I'm back. Peace to the gods. All right, let's open up this call line. I'm sorry, it took me a while to get back, but I had to go bathroom. My wife and daughter laughing at me. Hey, yo, brother gotta go. I'm an old man. I'm sitting here drinking all this water. Yeah. I drink about a gallon to 2 gallons a day, y'all. You know what I mean? When you get older, your blood gets thicker. I'm going to 774-467. Peace to the God. Peace.
Peace to the guys, Mr. Jonah. How's everything?
Mister, I'm not in the armed services.
Call you Jonah Bay if you prefer.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want me to say your first and last every time.
Mister is for people in the armed services or work for the government. I don't work for the government. I'm not in the armed services.
Okay.
But what up?
We'll keep this simple. Well, I do want to say, you know, I'm feeling more competent, excellent, and capable, you know, due to certain individuals. If you know, you know. You know? I do have a question about I do have a question for you about Section 8 housing, not to get too far off the path from Rule 13.
Right. You could ask any goddamn thing you want because it's Consultation Wednesday. But Section 8, I hope I can answer it. I don't know. I ain't never been on Section 8. I ain't never dated anyone that was on Section 8. But I know a little something about Section 8 because I did real estate. Well, do real estate. And we went to the Section 8 classes to get people to rent property from me.
Excellent. Maybe it'll be a teaching moment. I know there's a lot of us on it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. So my question is, right? Do I send my temporary income bona fide complaint to the CEO of my housing authority and the U.S. Department of Urban Development,
yes.
Public and in your affairs? Okay.
They're both, you know, it is government and it is private together, working together in a partnership. So, yes.
Okay, excellent. Just to say also, I sent the local, housing liaison a notice and I completely forgot. I wasn't supposed to send it to her. It's always the CEO, right? I had sent it to her. It says temporary income is not to be qualified, and I work for a temp agency. They try to raise the rent. So I just want to get some clarification to see if I could remedy that by sending them a notice.
Yeah. I say do the administrative process and see how it goes.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I did it. Already with the local lady, but I'm gonna send it to the CEOs. I appreciate you.
All right then, peace, God.
Peace.
I'm going to 901-631. Peace to the God. Man, it's not opening. Oh, there it is.
I didn't hear it unmuted, so I was trying to make sure it wasn't on my end.
Yeah, it was tripping on my end.
Okay. Hey, so I was listening to your interview that you had the other day, right?
Oh, you one of the few that knew the interview existed.
Yeah. So, you know, man, I was just trying to get a little feedback about the Moors that you was talking about on that interview, like the two Moors families that you was talking about, man. Is this something that we can kind of go back and read and look up on?
When you said the Moors, you got to expand a little more. I don't remember.
You made mention that it was just two Moorish families that were
It's called the that's enough. I know what you're talking about now. It's called the Sun-Dry Moors Act. Google it.
Sun-Dry Moors Act.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. And so one of the things that I, another question.
Delaware Moors.
Delaware Moors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay.
And
bad,
also
bad.
Delaware Moors license. You're going to see they had all of that that I talked about in the show.
Right, right. So let me ask you this then. Are you, do you still do like the private ID? Like the...
Yeah.
The foreign
I
ID. I mean.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Listen,
is it a way?
You have to use a foreign ID, the IDP, to be driving lawfully all over the world. That's what the treaty says you have to have. So if you don't have it, let's say you got the IDP and used it with your Moorish ID, you fucking up. That ain't what the treaty says you to do. But this is what I was saying about a lot of us melanated people, Moors, are disobedient. They don't want to follow the rules. So if you, how hard is it? If I'm saying just email me and I'll pass it on to the guy who can get that for you. How hard is it for you to do what the treaty tells you to do?
Right. Okay. Okay.
You know, the way I see it is, you can do your injunction, but yo, you're gonna be driving places where that injunction ain't. Let's say. You know what I mean? You got your injunction in for Georgia, but you won't go down to Louisiana for the Jazz Fest, right? You're going to mad states. What you going to do? You going to do injunctions for every state that you're going to travel through before you go on that trip? Nah, it's easier to have your IDP with your foreign license.
Okay,
just
okay,
You know what I mean? Path of least resistance.
Yeah. Okay, okay, yeah. I know. I sent that information off sent it off a little while ago. I just ain't nobody got back with me on for the foreign ID yet.
Send me another email in my email jonahbay@gmail.com, and I'll pass it along again.
Okay, okay. All right, and so the last question
you let this guy slip through the cracks.
Right, right, right. So my last question is pertaining to the 241-242 suit. For those who ain't got it, man, y'all need to check that son out, man, for real. But in the book that I was reading on it, right, it was speaking on the license. So it ain't good for us to really have a license through the state, even if we're doing like trucking and stuff. Like, that's what I do. So I basically need to figure out something else, you know what I'm saying, and set myself up in a different way if I plan to do trucking, or is it another way around that?
Okay. You can set up your trust. When your trust is set up, you want to be the owner of this trucking company. So the trust is going to own it, and the trust is going to hire a manager. The manager is going to have all the trucking licenses and all that stuff.
Right.
It's just like you own McDonald's. McDonald's hire a manager that opens the store, deposit the money into the bank, open up a new bank account if he has to. He does everything.
Right. You're so that means that I need to get away with my license, though, right? So that means I can't even have mine, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
A license says you're in commerce. If you're in commerce, you got to go by the rules of commerce and their laws and driver's license and all that.
Right.
And it can be taken away from you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
But, I said on that interview, March 19th, I'm having that webinar on the treaty injunction. When all of that goes through, you do whatever the hell you want. Because the treaty says they can't molest Moors. They can't tax a Moor. They can't do nothing to a Moor. So when you get that done, you don't have to worry about licenses or none of that.
Right, right. Okay. All right, well, I'm most definitely going to be on it. Man, that was my last question. I'm going to yield the floor, God. Peace.
All right, peace, God. All right, 786-878. Peace to the God. Peace. Up not wanting to open up the call lines. still didn't open it. What are they scared of me saying, or when these people are asking questions, it ain't letting me open it up? Let me try another one. Yo, that is crazy. I got mad hands up and can't pick them up. Yo! I knew they was going to be tripping on all the information I've been dropping lately, but crazy. That's all right. Let me go to YouTube and see what questions they got, and on Instagram, keep the show going. But, yo, y'all got to know, I'm definitely doing everything right and teaching y'all the right shit if they got to fuck with me like this. They don't fuck with no one else like this. Y'all just got to recognize that. All right, so let me see if I see a question up here on YouTube. I don't know, man. People act like they don't want to put their thumbs up for a brother, man. They don't want to give me no likes. I just don't understand why they did that. They be doing that to me. They know they learning. Rylem L said, I ain't supposed to use the bathroom. Shit. When you drinking as much water as I drink a day, you gonna be using the bathroom all damn day. For real, for real. Brother J Bay, which video can I watch to return the 501c3 and file for a 98 number over the phone? Gratitude. Yo, it's on YouTube. You want to listen to the show with me and Ron March, Jonah Bay and Ron March, or Ron March and Jonah Bay, and check that one out. It might be mostly audio, but it'll tell you everything you need to do. And you also want to Google IRS manual for EIN, and it's going to tell you in that manual how to get a 98 number. One of the first lessons I showed everyone around the world, how to get a 98 number by the IRS manual. Natalie said, waiting to learn from you on how to become free for real. Yeah, that's what's up. Natalie, make sure you go to SoundCloud.com and get into those archives. It's going to show you all the things that I've taught over the years that to make you get free, all right? Authenticate injunction, go into trust, live unincorporated, take gifts and donations, minimum contacts. Yo, that's basically what you're going to be doing, for real. They just, Deep Wang broke it down for you. That's a funny-ass name, Deep Wang. I ain't even going to talk about what that means. You know what? You might be right. They probably are blocking the thumbs up on YouTube. You never know. I know they'd be blocking everything else. Why not that? Now, I was, you know, setting up this show today for YouTube, right? And someone put up a video, an old student colleague of mine, talking about there is no money. There is no money. They like to make you believe that bullshit is true. There's always been money. The problem is most people don't know what money is. But the bankers do. The bankers do. And they told you what money is. They said money is gold and silver. Everything else is credit. That's what the Rothschild said. That's what the Constitution says. So when you read in HJR 192, you're not really overstanding what it's saying. It's telling you to take Federal Reserve notes. If you want real money, take Federal Reserve notes and trade them in for real gold and silver, dollar for dollar. That's what it's saying. Nothing's stopping you from getting real money. I got real money. I got real money. Gold and silver. In the movie John Wick, they showed you how they were using gold coins. In that movie, everyone else was using dollars. If you want to be a sheeple, that's what you're going to do, is use Federal Reserve notes. But there is real money. People need to stop telling that lie. It ain't real money. You choose not to have real money. I told y'all, it's in the archives. I told you about the story of me and my wife in court. And we was just learning about the Constitution. And I was so green that I wasn't doing paperwork ahead of time, letting them know what I was going to talk about. And if I did do the paperwork ahead of time, don't you know I used to hand the paperwork in the day I went into court? And it'd be a ton of people in there. And I'd go in there and start talking about the Constitution and what they violate and all that. So they was like, you say it one more time, we're going to lock you up for contempt. So I said it. They locked my ass up. So my wife's like, hold on, hold on, hold on. So you mean to tell me you just going to lock him up for asking you questions about the Constitution? Lock her up. Before we went into court, I made sure, I told her, yo, leave our IDs, all of that, inside the car, hidden in the boot, the trunk, because that's prima facie evidence we U.S. citizens and under their jurisdiction. We hid all that ID. And then I put some silver coins in my pocket. So we downstairs from the courthouse, in the courthouse, in their jail downstairs, right? And we in jail, so I'm laying down, about to go to sleep. I was up all night writing that paperwork. And they checked my pockets and all that. They were so-called taking all my property to put it into property. So then when they seen the silver, their eyes lit up. And they couldn't write down what the silver was. Now notice, and I had on jewelry too. They do this on purpose. If you ever been locked up, you need to notice this shit. You can have on your gold wedding ring, a gold bracelet, whatever. They don't write it as gold. They write it down as yellow ring. White gold or silver, white ring. Right? They never say gold or silver because it would prove that you aren't insolvent. It would prove that, you know, you're not a vagabond. You're not what they claim you are, right? But anyway, with the gold and silver, the silver coins in my pocket, they went and got the sheriff, and the sheriff's like, release them immediately and let us out of jail and told us we kicked out of the court, don't come back no more. Dog, we was only in jail maybe a half an hour before they could get the sheriff to come down. That's the power of having real money in your pocket, right? So I just had to tell y'all that interesting story. Listen. Just because you saying that the U.S. don't have no gold or silver in Fort Knox, that may be true, that may not be true. They don't have to store it there. Something that y'all may not know, Grand Canyon got a city of gold up under it, and they found it. A guy named Robert Kincaid found it. And they found all those statues of Egyptian gods, Buddha, all of that in this golden city. And they got so much gold that they won't release it. If they did, it would destroy the economy around the world with that much gold. So they have gold everywhere. Just like I'm sure y'all know, in the World Trade Center, the main building had mad gold up under it. So they have gold. They not letting y'all use the gold. And the reason why, it's simple reason why they don't let y'all use gold. Because if you had real gold, y'all would have to be Moors. Y'all would have to be back to your real status. The whole reason why they bankrupt America in 1933 was because Noble Drew Ali came in 1926 and proclaimed y'all to be Moors and all that, which y'all would have got y'all's land back. So it is what it is. So the bankruptcy was all predicated on stopping us from getting our original home back, which is, what's the name of our home? Ta Mary, ancient Egypt, amongst other names. It's a lot of different names. Turtle Island, all of that, right? So it is what it is. But let me see if I can answer a phone call again. 678-799. It is working now. See? What's up? What's up? BY Serpent, I know you're a fucking devil, and I'm about to kick you out of my chat. You want to fucking talk, get on this radio, put your damn hand up and talk. Stop trying to disturb shit in the motherfucking chat. You know what I mean? I don't get down like that, bitch ass.
I don't get down like that.
Peace to the gods, hello?
Peace to the gods.
Yes, I have a couple of questions, and I'll be quick. The first one is, after about 12 weeks of waiting, I finally got my authenticated birth certificate back, mm-hmm. and I'm here in Georgia. But I had already filed my trust several months ago. I listed the file number that was on my actual birth certificate in the trust filing, and now that I actually have the authenticated birth certificate, I want to file it. So do I just use a UCC-3 to add it to the trust, or do I have to do anything aside from going in there and saying, okay, now I have the actual document, I want to add it to the trust that was filed several months ago?
Can you say that again?
I got my authenticated birth certificate back from the Department of State, and it took mm-hmm. me forever. So because it was taking so long, I filed my express trust with the county while I was waiting for it. And I knew that I would have to go back and make an amendment or add it to my filing. So it's back, and I want to add it to the filing, but I'm not really sure if I need to add it.
First of all, when you do your birth certificate, that's good, right? And then you're supposed to do a non-UCC, so that has nothing to do with it. Coming back, the only way to attach it ain't to attach it to the trust. It's to do it in a non-UCC and give it to the trust. So you're missing things you're supposed to be doing. You're doing it wrong.
Oh. So I don't have to physically take them a copy of it. I just need to do a UCC. Okay.
No, it's a non-UCC. Baby girl, right. I want you to stop what you're doing. Stop doing anything. Go in the archives and listen to the archives at soundcloud.com before you mess up. I'd rather you do it correct the first time than to make a mistake and, you know, got to do it over. It's okay. Just easier to do it right the first time.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Peace.
Peace.
You know what's crazy? I just noticed, you know, like I said, doing big things, so we got all the fucking agents back into my chat and all that shit again. You know, I've been dealing with this shit for years, y'all. Mad years, right? Now, here's the thing. I used to be able to kick them out. I hit all the shit to kick them out. No way of kicking them out. So, you know what's going to happen? Next week, there will be no chat. There'll be no chat. So the fucking hater will have to call in so I could blast his dumb ass. See, y'all got to understand, there's a lot of people that dislike me for telling y'all the truth. You know what I mean? But the nigga going on and on about gold and silver, like what I said wasn't true. Y'all all can buy gold and silver. Just like, boom, look at this big chunky ass gold fucking bracelet on my arm. Y'all all can go buy it whenever y'all want. Y'all got to choose to do it. There is money. First of all, the Constitution says the only money in the United States, and it has always been this, is gold and silver. I'm not going to argue and debate with a fucking fool. Obviously, he don't know what he's supposed to know. You know what I mean? But that's our show for the day. I wish I could have got to more callers. They wasn't messing with my feed. You know, it's funny because soon as this nigga got on, that's when I started having fucking problems with picking up callers. And now this nigga is writing in, it looked like, yeah, straight agent. Faggot ass nigga. Hope to see you next week. Get on the fucking call and talk and stop hiding behind the screen, you internet gangster, you faggot ass nigga. Peace, y'all. Wow, I'm trying to end the program. It didn't even let me end the program. But it's going to turn off anyway in 60 seconds. That's crazy. Hope y'all enjoyed the show. Yeah, we're going to be getting a lot more agents coming on because of what I've done. Just the 241 suit alone was enough. But then I topped it off on the first of the year and told y'all the tax injunction. And now I'm about to do the treaty injunction. Yo, they not happy. They don't want this shit to happen. But the train done left the building. You know what I mean? Trained and left the building. Ain't nothing they can do about it. It is what it is. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see y'all again soon. Wave to all you good people on Instagram. Thanks for taking your time to tune in. Hope you're learning a lot. I hope you're learning information that you can go and use and fix some of those annoying little problems y'all have. I know I've used them, and plenty of other people that listen to me have. Yeah, you're right. He said, "I, Jonah, that injunction pushing these banks. And the IRS is tripping." You're right. That's why they messing with fees, yo. But like I said, you know, I've been on the air teaching about 10, 11 years. And they've always messed with my fee because of the things I was teaching y'all. You know, so it's going to continue as long as I keep on teaching. They're going to mess with the fees. They're going to mess with everything. You know what I mean? So just know. Just like, you know, even the numbers of listeners, they mess with that. They try to act like the listenership ain't as big as it really is. But when I'm getting these consultations and when I'm looking at the analytics is showing way higher numbers. It's totally different. You know what I mean? Now, I've had mad people, you know, in the comments, in the chats and all that, talking about, yo, Jonah, I try to get on to your show. They didn't let me get on to the show. Or they trying to charge me 20 cents a minute. So I had to just hang up type shit. And I'm like, yo, they're not going to charge you that, but they're going to tell you that to discourage you from listening. But you got to ask yourselves why. And the crazy shit is only teaching their laws. That's how bad they don't want you to know their laws. See, they said not knowing the law is no excuse. So they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know. That's what it is. But anyway, thanks for tuning in. I'm out. Peace. Poppy, I sent you the flyer for the webinar.
That's because bar comes money comes to me quickly. When they come quick, they don't.
And that's what you're gonna settle for.
I'm gonna stick with that.
This is your man.
Yes.
Look at the screen.
That's mine.
And that's what you're going to settle for.
I'm going to stick with that.
Why would he say yes when he can get way more?
To a surge of Egyptologists and treasure hunters descending into Egypt, one of these researchers was Hamilton Enright, who led a massive decade-long clearing project in the Giza Plateau that ended in 1935 when they found something that would shock the world, a large underground ancient subway system. Here's what Wright said. We have discovered a subway used by the ancient Egyptians 5,000 years ago. It passes beneath the causeway leading between the Second Pyramid and the Sphinx. From the subway, we have unearthed a series of shafts leading down more than 125 feet with gloomy quartz and side chambers. This discovery caused a lot of articles to be published by the mainstream news and academic journals. Until later that same year, Egyptian authorities put a gag order on any stories referring to underground tunnels in Egypt. Then suddenly, the story disappeared, leading to the question, was there any legitimacy to these claims? Surprisingly, yes. In the 5th century BC, Greek historian Herodotus wrote about a journey he took to Egypt where a priest showed him a mysterious underground labyrinth, saying, "It is hard to believe this was made by man. Near the corner where the labyrinth pyramid, 240 feet in height, with carved figures of animals on it, and an underground passage by which it can be entered. I was told that these underground chambers connect this pyramid with the pyramids at Memphis." That Memphis he was referring to is known today as the Giza Plateau. 800 years later, Syrian philosopher Iamblichus wrote about an underground tunnel system which could be accessed through the body of the Sphinx. As he said, in the belly of the Sphinx were cutout galleries leading to the subterranean part of the Great Pyramid. These galleries were so artfully crisscrossed that in setting forth without a guide, one inevitably returned to the starting point. Could any of this actually be true? One man who claimed to know the answer to that question was named Edgar Casey. Born in 1877, Casey was an American psychic known as the Sleeping Prophet because he'd literally speak prophecy in his sleep. Throughout his life, he'd make thousands of predictions. And yes, like any psychic, he got a lot of them wrong. However, enough of them came true during his own lifetime that a full-time stenographer was retained to sit next to his bed and write down everything he said. Here are some of the eerie and specific things that Casey predicted. He predicted the stock market would crash in 1929, which it did. He predicted the death of two American presidents, the rise and fall of Hitler, the collapse of the Soviet Union. The 44th president of the United States would be black, and he even predicted his own death on January 1st, 1945, when he said that he would be buried in 4 days. 3 days later, he died of a stroke. But one of his most controversial prophecies is something that's coming true in real time, and it involves a sphinx. Casey predicted that under the front paws lies a hall of records that would contain the true origins of humanity, and that scientists would discover this hall of records in the 1990s, perfectly preserved, almost like a time capsule. A very bold claim, considering he said this in 1932, 3 years before Hamilton Wright revealed his findings of an underground subway system. Casey also said that the Sphinx was not 4,500 years old, like scholars believe, but actually dates back 12,000 years, around 10,000 BC. Now, according to the mainstream scientists, the Sphinx was built in 2500 BC. Yet when you look at the reasons why mainstream scholars believe the Sphinx is that old, the evidence starts to fall apart. For instance, it's assumed the Sphinx was built by the pharaoh Khafre in order to protect the Great Pyramid, which is widely accepted to be the tomb of Khafre's father, Khufu. The crazy part? No mummy of anyone, let alone Khufu, has ever been found inside of the Great Pyramid. And proponents of this theory will also point to the face of Khafre found on a well-preserved statue of him and say that it looks just like the face of the Sphinx. Yet, upon further examination, it becomes obvious that the two faces are actually two completely different people. The most defining feature between these two faces is this angle right here, which measures from the corner of the lips to the corner of the eye. And as you can see on the Sphinx, it's almost double the size of the same angle on Khafre's actual face. And lastly, there's this stone called the Inventory Stella, which was discovered by a French archaeologist in Egypt during the 1850s. And inscribed into this stone is a record of the Sphinx being repaired by the pharaoh Khufu after it was struck by lightning. The only problem with that, Khufu is Khafre's father, and he was supposed to have been dead by the time the Sphinx was built. So when you think about it, the entire history you've been taught about the Sphinx is based entirely on evidence that's circumstantial at best. And the biggest unanswered question of all is, even if they did build the Sphinx in 2500 BC, how the heck did they do it? See, unlike the pyramids, it wasn't constructed block by block. It was actually sculpted directly out of the bedrock from a single piece of limestone, and not with chisels and hammers, but by taking massive limestone blocks directly out of the ground around the Sphinx, and then using those blocks like giant Legos to build the nearby temple complex. We know this because the geological layers inside the blocks of the temple complex perfectly matches the geological layers of the walls around the Sphinx. Some of these blocks measure 30 feet long, 10 feet high, and 12 feet wide, and weigh about 200 tons each. And not to mention, they also supposedly did this with nothing more than ropes, pulleys, and rings. Which brings us back to Edgar Casey's prediction, which seems to account for this mystery as well. Because he also claimed that Atlantis, the mythical advanced civilization which sunk into the ocean, was actually real. And he said the full history of Atlantis would be revealed once and for all on scrolls that are located inside the Hall of Records under the Sphinx. Now, if you're like most people, you probably heard the word Atlantis and immediately wrote this guy off as crazy. But if you could open your mind for 1 second and consider where the myth of Atlantis actually came from in the first place, you'll realize that it all traces back to the writings of the Greek philosopher Plato, where Plato described Atlantis as an advanced ancient civilization that existed 9,000 years before his own time and was founded by beings that were half god and half human. Because Plato's account of Atlantis is the only known record of it ever existing, it's always been assumed that this story was myth and not reality. Even though Plato himself never said it wasn't real, all he said was that he heard the story through his conversations that he'd had with various poets and priests. And one of these conversations he spoke of was with a Greek lawmaker, Solon, where Solon was telling Plato about the time that he went to Egypt to network with one of the Egyptian high priests. And apparently the Egyptian priest had asked Solon to tell him about the history of the Greek people. So Solon told him, in the beginning, humans were created, and there was a big flood, a big catastrophe. And after that, they were created again. And after he said that, the Egyptian priest began laughing, which confused Solon. So the priest went on to explain, there have been many devastations in the long history of the world. The earth has been repopulated many times over the course of millions of years. You Greeks only remember the last one, but there have been many before that. You've lost the record of these earlier histories, and we have those records. Could this priest have been referring to those same records that Edgar Casey was talking about? To answer that question, we've got to fast forward to the 1990s when Edgar Casey said this would all go down.
The great Sphinx of Egypt, keeper of the ancient mysteries, guardian of the ancient secrets. The Sphinx is considered to be the greatest statue on earth.
1991, American Egyptologist and geologist Robert Shaw conducted a series of studies taking seismic surveys around the Sphinx. The results of these studies were so groundbreaking that an hour-long NBC documentary called The Mystery of the Sphinx was created and watched by more than 30 million people on primetime television. In the documentary, West and Shaw presented their findings for studying the erosion patterns on the walls around the Sphinx. When you look at the Sphinx with a geological eye, this was not weathered by wind and sand. Weston Shock noted the erosion patterns look nothing like sand and wind erosion, but are actually identical to extreme water erosion. Here you see all these joints. You don't see the same type of joints in the wind-induced weathering. This is a textbook example of what happens to a limestone wall when you have rains beating down on it for thousands of years. So how on earth could there be this much water erosion around the Sphinx when the area has been the Sahara Desert for the last 5,000 years? At first, you might think that maybe this is caused from Nile River flooding over the years. It's not floods coming up from the bottom. Geologically, that will give a very different signature on the rock. It's actually rainfall runoff coming from above. Surprisingly, no other geologist could even refute these findings, even if they wouldn't admit it publicly. Just look at what John Anthony West said. Through some friends, I had an introduction to a very well-known Oxford geologist, and I went to him with a very simple question. On the basis of a clear photograph alone, could he, as a geologist, tell the difference between weathering by water and weathering by wind and sand? The answer was cautiously expressed as the general rule, yes. I asked him if he didn't mind if I play a bit of a trick on him. What I did was I took a photograph of the Sphinx and I masked off the head and paws, and I asked him, what did he think was responsible for that weathering? And he looked at it for a moment and said, well, unquestionably water. And then I stripped the masking tape off and he looked at it for a minute and said, oh. And if this is in fact water erosion, given the level of erosion that exists, the Sphinx must date back to a time when the area was not the Sahara Desert, but was actually very wet with heavy water precipitation. Either this was a mere geological anomaly or the Sphinx might go back to period. And the last time conditions fit that criteria was around the end of the last ice age 12,000 years ago. What we had ending the last ice age was huge climatic changes, which put a lot of moisture into the air, which came down as precipitation with huge thunderstorms, etc. And I think a lot of the erosion that we still see on the walls of the Sphinx enclosure goes back to that period. According to what we know about history, 12,000 years ago, people were living in small groups of hunter-gatherers. The exact opposite of a society you'd think would be capable of creating the largest monolith on planet Earth to date. And in the words of John Anthony West,
the proof that the Sphinx precedes dynastic Egypt by many thousands of years means there was, at some distant past, sophisticated civilizations.
And water erosion wasn't their only surprising find. They also found what seemed to be a large, room-sized cavity under the left front paw of the Sphinx.
We were not looking for structures under the Sphinx. I was actually looking for a subsurface mineralogical changes, but we found some structures. Most importantly, we found a chamber under the left paw.
Surprisingly, when Weston Shock revealed these findings in their documentary and word of an undiscovered room under the Sphinx started to spread, the Egyptian authorities immediately banned them from continuing their research altogether. And the man responsible for getting them banned was this guy, Zahi Hawa.
I'm Zahi Hawa.
When I go after you, you listen to me. Shut up. I don't want to tell you where to go, or I will leave.
His official title is the Minister of Antiquities, but that basically just means that he's a spokesperson.
Johnson, you're fired.
Why?
It's not you. It's your shirt. But it's Casual Friday.
Well, you're taking it too far. Look at Gibson. He's wearing a True Classic tee. If it's tight in all the right places, but leaves a perfect amount of room in the front.
God, I hate that guy. He looks so good in that shirt.
You could write any kind of lyrics, talk about anything. Why so much sex?
Internet bullying is something that really needs to stop. You know, at the end of the day, you know, us celebrities have it worse.
Lil Kim was born on July 11, 1974, in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, New York. As a child, Kim was sent to a well-established Catholic school, Queen of All Saints in Brooklyn, in an attempt to provide a stable learning environment. But stability was lacking after her parents' marriage broke up when Kim was 8 years old. Linwood, a former military man, reportedly began to use physical violence against his wife. Kim told the Washington Post in 2000 that she remembers her mom having black eyes and that her father told people she had fallen. In a 2000 interview with Newsweek, Kim reminisced about the way her father criticized her from the time she was very young. It was like I could do nothing right, she says. Everything about me was wrong. My hair, my clothes, just me. That set up a pattern for her future relationships with men. All my life, men have told me I wasn't pretty enough, even the men I was dating, and I'd be like, well, why are you with me then? She winces. It's always been men putting me down, just like my dad. to this day, when someone says I'm cute, I can't see it. I don't see it, no matter what anybody says. Kim moved with her mother and brother to the suburb of New Rochelle, and why? Where some girls in their new all-white neighborhood tease Kim because of her skin color. Ruby Mae struggled for money and unable to support her family, eventually granted Linwood custody of their two children. Linwood remarried, though his relationship with Kim soured irreparably only after she began dating boys at the age of 13. According to Kim, he became verbally abusive, and their relationship took a violent turn. One day, Kim stabbed him with a pair of scissors.
When I was 15 years old, I was kicked out of my house. So I was on the street. I was basically homeless. I was forced into doing things that I didn't want to do. You know what I mean? Like, you know, dipping and dabbing with guys. I was selling drugs, doing all other types of stuff. And
in the following years, she sometimes lived with neighbors or with elderly men who provided her with housing and food. She worked in department stores, following in the footsteps of her mother, who worked at Macy's and ran errands for drug dealers. She also hinted that she had been sexually assaulted, although she never named her abuser. The girl wanted to become a rapper from a young age, and she finally got lucky.
What's up, big mama?
What'd you just call me?
Big mama.
Kim studied at the Sarah J. Hale Vocational School in Brooklyn, and then at the Brooklyn College Academy. Her future rival, Foxy Brown, also studied there. By the time Kim met Christopher Wallace, better known as Biggie, at the age of 17, she had completely given up on her education. Wallace was a couple of years older at 19, a small-time drug dealer on his way to hip-hop superstardom as the notorious B.I.G. They met accidentally on the street corner, after which Kim freestyled for Biggie. In 1992, Wallace signed a contract with Sean Puffy Combs' label Bad Boy Entertainment. In addition to his solo career, Wallace organized the hip-hop group Junior Mafia, which included several of his childhood friends. Lil' Kim became the only female member of the group. Under Wallace's leadership, Junior Mafia released a number of singles, and in 1995, they debuted album Conspiracy. With the single Player's Anthem, Lil' Kim was introduced to the world.
Watch my niggas back, lines in the store, locked in the bag, Max and Indy walk the seat.
And a little later released her debut album, Hardcore, which became extremely successful in sales and was doing pretty good numbers.
Stone sets, I got my own baguette, and I'll be doing things that you won't regret. Little Kim the Queen.
Her image was built on her sexy appearance, which is why she attracted the male audience. And do you know whose idea it was? Biggie's, of course. He wanted her to show off her beauty at 100%. He encouraged her to cultivate a lascivious style, which was later dubbed gangsta porn rap, which rubbed the infamous C. Dolores Tucker the wrong way, since she wanted to abolish gangsta rap, vulgarity, and so on.
I want you to, you know, be sure, you know, I said you're too young to be having sex. You probably, you're too young to be listening to my music, true. But if you're going to listen to it, you know, make sure you do the right thing. Don't go out and have sex for the wrong reasons. And if you do...
And Biggie was not only her mentor, but also her boyfriend. And it was at this time that Biggie meets Faith Evans and marries her after only 8 days. They continued to work together, although it was very difficult to keep calm.
I'm in a bitch, nigga. You wasn't talking that shit when you was eating my pussy the other night.
Is your ramen back in stock? It is. Sorry it kept flying off the shelves. Is it healthy? Yeah. The noodles are wholesome and full of protein. What makes it taste so good?
I was like, no, like, tell him to ask his girlfriend.
But that wasn't the end of it. One of the worst altercations between Lil' Kim and Evans was when she caught her and her husband together in a hotel room. Here's what Faith Evans wrote in her autobiography. I got to Big's bedroom door, turned the knob, and went inside. As soon as I saw a small lump next to Big's large frame, I flew into a rage, ran over to the side of the bed, and pulled back the covers. I grabbed some chick out of the bed and started beating her ass. At some point, the chick's wig came off in my hand. It was a short, cropped wig. I stopped throwing punches for a minute to get a good look at the chick I was beating up. It was Lil' Kim. She was completely butt naked, yelling as I pushed her around the room. Big sat up in bed and pointed at Kim, who was standing in a corner of the room, trying to cover her naked body with her hands while I was still yelling at Big. Yo, get her out of here, Kim out of the room, and she screamed and cursed the whole way. When Kim and Evans first met, Evans only assumed that the two New York rappers had a working relationship. However, everyone in Big Circle knew what was going on behind the scenes. In 1996, the Lady Marmalade rapper was pregnant with Biggie's child. However, she had an abortion because she knew that the relationship was not conducive to bringing a child into the world. Kim has admitted that she and Biggie had a violent relationship.
Phone going like this. I'm like, yeah, you know that. Boom, my headphone goes like and we started fighting, and we tore the plaque off the wall and everything. And he choked me out in the elevator and passed out.
And look, Kim revealed that for a long time, violent men attracted her. Biggie was killed, and it was difficult for her to get over that loss.
Biggie was the type of person to motivate you. He always wanted you, anyone, to succeed.
She even stopped making music for a while, but later returned.
Now he could just be on top, and I want to be on top again. And...
Right. In June of 2000, the long-awaited album The Notorious K.I.M. was released. The album immediately debuted at number 4 on the Billboard 200 chart and sold 3 million copies worldwide. Thus, the album became one of the best-selling rap albums of that year.
Ask me if I'd be a safe for the drum and need to buy me a whole portion. If I was you, I'd take me too. Louis Vuitton shoes and a whole lot of...
And despite some positive moments of her popularity, in 2001, an incident happened that changed her life completely. Since 1996, she had a feud with Foxy Brown, and it all ended up in a shooting in 2001 near the studio Hot 97 in Manhattan. Shots were fired after Lil' Kim gave an interview to the radio station. One person was injured, and the second was severely injured. When it came to court, Kim told the grand jury that she knew nothing about the fact that two people from her entourage, her manager Damian Butler and another man, Sue Jackson, were present at the time of the shooting. But surveillance photos show Butler opening the door for Kim, with witnesses linking her to another man, Sue Jackson, were present. Knew nothing about the fact that two people from her entourage, her manager Damian Butler and another man, Sue Jackson, were present at the time of the shooting. But surveillance photos show Butler opening the door for Kim, with witnesses linking her to both men, who pleaded guilty to weapons possession that night. As a result, in March of 2005, Kim was found guilty of perjury and conspiracy before a federal grand jury. I thought it was the right thing to do, but now I know it's wrong, Kim said, with tears in her eyes before the sentencing. On July 6, 2005, she was fined $50,000 and sentenced to a year and one day in prison, and Butler was jailed for 12 years. Lil' Kim's fourth album, The Naked Truth, was released in September of 2005 while she was still incarcerated. Some fans have called this release the greatest female rap album of all time.
I come from this stop, and it can be the two of them on top. Gotta keep the red chick close. In the club, we sippin' coffee, sippin' coffee, oh, oh.
Now it's time to discuss her plastic surgery and why she got it done. As we said earlier, she was bullied for her appearance, developing an insecurity. In 2005, she went on a radio show and explained that she had her nose broken during a physically abusive confrontation with an ex-boyfriend whose name is Damian World Hardy. They dated for only 1 year between 2002 and 2003. Kim told the listeners that she, like many other women, had been a part of a violent relationship that left her with a broken nose, black eyes, all that stuff. The New York native revealed that she has to fix her nose not once but multiple times. Every time she'd go through a procedure and come back to her boyfriend, he'd hit her again and send her reeling into a tangle of insecurities and self-loathing. It's not just her face that was damaged as a result of these brutal attacks. Kim had to undergo multiple MRIs because he beat me up so bad I couldn't even move. She also suffered from blood clots in her back.
You're fucking me. You're fucking white. You have no melanin, bitch.
Kim was so tired of lying about her injuries, pretending they were an allergic reaction and burying her bruises in makeup that she thought it would be better to get professional work done and wipe out those physical markings for once and for all. I kind of prayed the whole time. I didn't know what to do, and it has a lot to do with my maturity, too. It's been times I was in the car with my ex-boyfriend, and he punched me in my face, and I was bleeding all over the car. The doctor had to fix my nose because it was almost shattered.
Guys, help me to get through everything as well, and that makes me want to keep going.
The trauma led her to start her charitable organization, Lil Kim Cares, which does extraordinary work in raising awareness and funds for issues such as homelessness, child neglect, and violence against women. She's also keen on showing that just because she's a celebrity doesn't mean that she's 19.
It's good to see make a nigga come back.
Family life. In 2014, she gave birth to Lil Kim Rose that he had died. I recommend you check out the next video about what happened to the members of Bad Boy Records. Subscribe.